And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
My name is Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I am a practitioner of the dark arts and crafts in Atchafalaya County in northern southeast Texas. And it's time for another one of these here Ask Philos, because the Postal Service, bless their hearts, whatever powers there are that protect people who haul unwanted email, postal mail through the rain, sleet, snow, and zombie alligators to get to the county here, have delivered me yet another letter. It's a very nice letter. It's on some very nice paper here. It's from Egbert Prim, and says here, Dear Philo, well, thank you, Egbert. I appreciate the sentiment. I am an avid listener of your podcast, which may in fact be the problem. Well, you know something, Egbert? I always like to see letters that start with that, because I know I'm in for a bit of a roller coaster ride. I recently acquired a pair of alligator boots. They are quite nice looking, fit very well, and are amazingly comfortable. But perhaps due to an overactive imagination, and I must stress I have no reason to think the boots or their associated gator or gators originated in your county, I have increasingly come to detect a hint of pickled okra in their smell. Should I be worried that they might reanimate? I would hate to mar their lovely finish with an oil-based salad condiment. Is there another way to prevent such an occurrence? Yours, Egbert Prim, out of Houston. That's one of the little towns up north of us. Well, Egbert, I appreciate your letter here. And we have been running a few tests. It's a little challenging to track the migratory patterns of zombie alligators, as we have established in the last couple of installments of this particular series, that we have had a bit of a zombie problem. I mean, it sure happens to the best of neighborhoods. And the problem was that the alligators was eating the zombies, and then we get a zombie alligator, and you may have seen that one with the big knife sticking out of its head. It apparently swam upstream a bit. Whoever shall remove the knife from the head of the zombie alligator shall probably not be king of England. We've already established that doesn't work quite that way, but we'll probably have much larger issues at hand, considering the fact that he's pulled the knife out of a zombie alligator, which probably does smell a bit of pickled okra, as we have established that the zombies are in fact very fond of pickled okra, and are in fact growing their own right now. And if you happen to know of anybody who needs a startlingly large amount of pickled okra, I would say just send them a note my way, but that's a whole other conversation for another time. I'm fairly certain that they have not sourced any zombie alligators from our particular neck of the county for footwear. Now, having said that, that does not mean that your alligator boots are not in fact made from zombie alligator. I think the real question here is how they respond and react to various stimuli. For example, if you get your boots a little too close to the fire, do they move away from it on their own accord? If that is the case, then you may have yourself a zombie alligator skin boot situation. In the event that you happen to go fishing, once you have caught all the fish and you have counted them, when you take the boat back to the dock, do you have the same number of fish when you get to the dock than when you had actually begun your excursion to return to the dock? If the answer to that is no, and you have fewer fish, again, you might have yourself a zombie alligator skin boot situation. If you have more fish, that's an entirely different situation, and we can talk about that later on. I'll give you a phone number that you can call in the event that that happens, because if that does happen, well, we have a whole other set of phenomenon which we have to go into in more detail, and I don't have time to do that today. If you are, in fact, I think the most important thing here, though, is have you ever felt the instinctive need while you were wearing these boots to kick someone in the head and access their brains. If no, then you probably do not have zombie alligator skin boots. If yes, you either have zombie alligator skin boots, or you may in fact have something that it's a cursed item that we found back in the ancient three-ring binders of our ancestors here called, Boots of Giant Stomping. Anytime you encounter somebody taller than you, you are overcome with the inexplicable and inescapable desire to try to kick him to death, and that has led to more than a few exciting moments in some of my forefathers' lives. Specifically, I might add, also led to some very interesting TikTok videos, which I've had passed on to me here, as we don't get a lot of Wi-Fi out here in the county. On the other hand, every so often, someone does send me a, 3x3.5-inch floppy disk, which I can plug into this here old Macintosh, which we have hooked up to a series of electrodes and a lightning rod. And let me tell you, it is fun for the whole family when we get that fired up. So as a side note here, and of general interest, but also of particular interest to our correspondent here, not a lot of people realize this, but alligators, as a general rule, are not raised for their meat. Alligators are generally raised for their skin, which is used on belts and boots and suitcases. And contrary to what you may see in the cartoons, you cannot walk up to an alligator, punch it real hard, and have a three-piece luggage suite appear. We've tried that. It did not go well, and that's another reason why we're not allowed out at the snake farm no more. That's cousin Anus, he got a little enthusiastic, and he lost one of his suitcases on the trip. Not to an alligator, but in fact to a grizzly bear, which is surprising because you don't see a lot of grizzly bears downtown, but that's another story for a whole nother time there. But anyway, so alligators are generally raised for their skin, and as an interesting side effect of the plague, y'all remember the plague, it was in all the papers and stuff, but after the plague, during the plague I should say, and even after the plague, the demand for alligator skin products, on account of people not going anywhere because they'd all been advised to remain in their homes until the plague had swept past, the demand for alligator skin dried up, so did also the alligator meat. Well, of course, if you leave alligator meat out in the sun, it's going to dry up, and then you get alligator jerky, which is sold at many of the finer roadside gas stations and travel stops, but that's not what I mean here. I mean the actual amount of alligator meat that was available for consumption diminished significantly until we had to actually dig into our strategic alligator meat reserves, which are kept in a old abandoned salt mine down, I think it's out down there around Brownsville, but I could be wrong on that anyway. So that's an interesting thing there. And if you ever have a chance to go to Brownsville to visit the Strategic Alligator Meat Repository, it is a very exciting photo opportunity, especially because the gentlemen with the very large firearms are extremely keen on knowing why you'd go all the way out there to do that. So that's an important little tourist tip for the next time you're down in that neck of the woods. My little kitty cat here. She's an entirely normal kitty cat, and don't look at me like that. So, that's how that works out there. I do want to give you a real quick update on the situation. The Quonset hut where the zombies have been abiding is actually in startlingly good shape. They have taken to building more. Yes, I know. We'll get you some more over in a minute. Now the Quonset hut. It's actually taken on quite a life of its own. Not an actual life of its own, and concerning all the other things that happen here in the county, I want to make that incredibly clear. Although having that 20-foot giant reanimated skeleton from the Home Depot hanging out next to it does make it a bit of a photo opportunity for passing tourists. They usually pass at a rather rapid clip for some reason, I guess partially because they haven't figured out how to turn the speed down on the propeller boat, and partially because they were just on their way somewhere else, which is often the case around here in the county. But it's got itself, they put in carpeting, which is an interesting choice. They did put in some of that stain-resistant carpeting for reasons which I think are completely obvious. They put in a satellite dish. It's not hooked up to anything, but they did put in a satellite dish, and we've already had three pelicans nest in it, so I think that's probably good for both the pelicans, the satellite dish company people, and the zombies in the event they ever decide to start raising pelicans for eggs. I don't know if there's a market for pickled pelican eggs, but I'm sure we'll find out in a couple of months after they've put up three or four more satellite dishes and we've gotten ourselves a few more pelicans up there. If you know, you can actually put an awful lot of stuff into a pelican's beak. And my cousin Wilberforce had thought about trying to train pelicans like courier pigeons, where you just, you know, instead of strapping a little message to the leg, you just dump your mail into the beak and have the pelican flapping its way from where you are to where the ostensible receiving station is. And we discovered two very important things about that. Number one is that pelicans don't really have a homing instinct as such, and number two is there's such a thing as overloading a pelican's beak, so the poor beast takes about three or four steps, flaps, and is gone, and then an alligator is eating them, and there goes your mail. And that means, you know, I'm no way I'm ever going to be able to cancel my membership with the Columbia House Record Club, because every time I send them a please cancel my membership, that gets eaten by an alligator because it was stuffed into a pelican's beak. And what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.